The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So we've been exploring these Lojong teachings, exploring our life, our experience, talking about bodhicitta, this awakened heart, sometimes talking about it as compassion, that compassion is the nature of the universe, or bodhicitta is the nature of the universe, this assertion that fundamentally life is a wondrous beyond description and beyond this and that. Reminds me of a friend I was talking with many years ago now, we were talking about war and World War II in particular and all the atrocities, and he said, "I can't believe in a God that would kill all those people." And I said, "Well, actually, everyone that lives dies. God or this universe is a universe of life and death. And in fact, there is no life without death. We say a stone is not alive because it cannot die. So we live in this world that so often doesn't make sense. And we come to practice to dig deeper into the matter, to learn more about ourselves and about life, and to live a life of meaning and purpose. I think all of us, every human being, wishes to find some way to live in this world, some way to meet the challenges. We might even say some way to appreciate our life. And this morning Melissa was talking about Tonglen practice, this practice of giving and receiving, the practice of breathing in the pain and suffering, the difficulty, and breathing out light and some positive energy. Talking about this as a dualistic practice, and it is in the section of the Lojong teachings about relative compassion. And she mentioned that the instruction in doing this sending and receiving practice is to begin with the absolute and to end with the absolute. So we put the relative in between this resting in the absolute. In the workshop retreat training that Melissa and I went to with Pema Chodron, she talked about flashing the absolute, which to this day I don't really understand, but I pass it on. Maybe it will make sense to you. But I suspect what she means is that we give ourselves to this aspect of life, the absolute, this way of approaching the world that is beyond plus and minus, beyond this and that, beyond giving and receiving. And when we talk about this absolute, it can often feel very intimidating, and is as if it is some thing that we have to figure out. And so I wanted to say a few more words about the Absolute and approach it from a Zen story. And it's one of the root stories of the Zen tradition about our founder, our legendary founder, Bodhidharma, who is said to have lived in China in the 6th century. And it's said that Bodhidharma came from India when he was quite an old man, that he made the perilous journey to China to bring Zen to China, because Buddhism had been in China for 300 or 400 years already. So Buddhism was not new to China, but this particular kind of Buddhism was new, this school of Chan. And the story goes that the emperor at the time, who was a very religious and dedicated man, heard of this new teacher, Bodhidharma, and sent for him. And so Bodhidharma appeared before the emperor. And the emperor said, it has been very important to me to support Buddhism, and I have built many temples, and thousands of monks have ordained while I have been emperor, and I have done much to support the Dharma. What is the merit of this? What is the value of this? And Bodhidharma said, no merit. So the emperor thought he'd been doing some pretty good work, but must have had some doubts, or he wouldn't have asked Bodhidharma, what good is all of the good works I have done? And indeed, he did do good works, built wonderful temples. And Bodhidharma says, no merit. And then the emperor said, well, what is the essence of this teaching that you bring? And Bodhidharma said, vast emptiness, nothing holy. Vast emptiness, nothing holy. We can only imagine what the emperor was thinking at this point. And he finally said, so who are you? Who is this standing in front of me? And Bodhidharma said, I don't know. Or there is no knowing. This is Bodhidharma presenting the Absolute. The Absolute not as a thing, but the Absolute as pointing to a world beyond description, pointing to some fundamental way to enter, to be in the world, this vast emptiness, nothing holy. We might say vast fullness, vast potential. We might say absolute bodhicitta, that just compassion. And this most famous answer, this who are you? And Bodhidharma said, I don't know. This not knowing is something that we spend most of our life trying to fix. We take courses and we come on retreats and we study, thinking that if we can know enough. But all knowledge is based on this and that, based on what we can describe. So Bodhidharma is pointing to the Absolute. the same absolute that we discussed earlier around absolute compassion, when we were encouraged to examine the nature of awareness. We're encouraged to look into our own experience and look into these stories that we tell ourselves. I'm doing well, I'm not doing well, this is good, this is bad. And look into who is telling the story. Who is sitting here this evening practicing? When we look more deeply, we come into this place of not knowing, that the mind creates the world. The great anthropologist Gregory Bateson said, the mind creates the world and then says, I didn't do it. But this world that we live in and interact with is a co-creation. The self and the world create each other. And last night I spoke of the Alaya consciousness, this storehouse principle, that there is this possibility that we can rest in the openness of mind. And we might say we can rest in not knowing. My teacher's teacher, Sun Sanim, had many slogans. He was big on training phrases. And one of his wonderful training phrases was, only don't know. Only don't know. Referring to this, in a sense we might say, trusting that we don't have to figure it out. Taking a break from the incessant meaning-making and resting in this moment. So this don't know, when we enter this not knowing, this is a place where we stop trying to create some kind of ground to stand on. Because this is what the mind does. It wants to create some solid ground, some solid sense of self, and thinks I will be safe and I will be happy once things firm up here. But the Buddha taught that the nature of life is impermanent, that everything comes and goes, and that any idea we have of who we are is only provisional, is only relative. I am the one who, and then fill in the blank, and momentarily I am the one sitting here, but 2 weeks ago you weren't the one sitting here. 2 weeks from now you won't be that one. So this world of impermanence that we are all of us trying to find, to make our home here, to find our home here. And these teachings, all of these teachings, are encouraging us to find a home in the vast potential, in the vast fullness of the world, and that this not knowing is not the not knowing of fearful and uncertainty, but a kind of vast not knowing where we settle into the suchness of this moment and can begin to appreciate our life, appreciate whatever comes up, because we don't have to defend ourselves any longer. We don't have to protect the image we have created of ourselves. I'm the smart one. I'm the calm one. That we can begin to see through all of these thoughts of permanence. In this vast coming and going, we can find stability wherever we are. Because wherever you are, you are fully here. And everything, your whole universe, the whole universe is here with you. So we meet ourself, we encounter ourself in everything we meet. We say the great round mirror of life perfectly reflects and we see little self meets big self meets little self. And when this meeting is direct and without opinion, when we our sense of how it should be falls away, or we see through it and we meet directly, and we taste our soup and we feel our feet on the floor and our aching knees. And we see that this is life itself. So we practice meeting the particular within the vast field of openness, letting everything be as it is, and considering resting, not in certainty, but resting in this wondrous and nourishing not knowing. This is one way to enter the absolute, to meet our life directly.